الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, the easiest path that we can take to Allah is by realizing our utter need of Allah and by realizing our dependence upon Allah and by realizing the fact that we rely on Allah for absolutely everything. Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah, wallahu huwal ghaniyyul hamid. Allah addresses mankind and Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, you are all fuqara before Allah. You are all beggars before Allah. You are all in need of Allah. No matter how wealthy you may be, no matter what level of affluence you enjoy in this world, but Allah says every single one of you is a beggar before Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. Allah is al-ghani. Allah is the independent. Allah is the one who is free of every need and want. Brothers, whenever we have a need, it is only Allah that we turn to. And Allah then answers our dua through that one attribute of His for which Allah is always known. The most salient of all His attributes, the attribute that we and the entire creation of Allah enjoys, and that is the mercy of Allah. So this is one way that we can journey to Allah. This is a journey that takes us back to our initial destination, which takes us back to Allah. That is why when the soul is addressed, at the time when the soul is being drawn from the body, what is the address that is directed towards the soul? Irji'i. Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutmainna, irji'i ila rabbi. Come back to your Rabb. Come back to home. Come back to your destination. That is what is said to the nafs. So it is a constant journey, whether it is the month of Ramadan, after the month of Ramadan, whether it is the season of Hajj, whether it is a sacred month, or it is a month that has not been declared sacred by Allah. It is a constant journey and a constant effort that we have to make in this journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one way to journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by realizing our utter need of Allah, by calling on Allah more and more, and then by tasting of Allah's mercy as Allah answers our du'as. Ponder over how many ways Allah has had mercy upon you. Allah created you, Allah brought you into existence. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ. Allah says, we have created you, we have fashioned you, we have shaped you. Attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You would not have even knew of life were it not for Allah azza wa jal. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Allah says, there came upon man a time when there was no mention of his name anywhere. Every pleasure that you have ever enjoyed in life is because Allah brought you into existence. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Allah says, every ni'mah that you enjoy, every good that you enjoy, every bounty that you enjoy, every moment of happiness that you enjoy, the good health that you enjoy, the wealth that you enjoy, the iman that you enjoy, all this comes to you only from Allah. So attribute it to Allah Azza wa Jal. Constantly attribute it to Allah. And the best way to attribute the ni'mah of Allah to Allah is by saying Alhamdulillah. Once Musa alayhi salam, he addressed Allah Azza wa Jal and he says, Ya Allah, Adam alayhi salam enjoyed privileges that no other human had ever enjoyed. خَلَقْتَهُ بِيَدِكَ وَنَفَخْتَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِكَ وَأَدْخَلْتَهُ جَنَّتَكَ وَأَمَرْتَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ فَسَجَدُوا لَهُ. Oh Allah, you created Adam with your very hand, you molded him and shaped him, you breathed your soul into him, you granted him entry into Jannah, and you instructed all the malaika to prostrate before him. They all had prostrated before him. Of course, these are such privileges and bounties of Allah that no other creation of Allah had ever enjoyed. Oh Allah, tell me something. How did Adam alayhi salam appreciate these favors that you had bestowed upon him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Musa, arafa anna dhalika minni. Number one, he attributed it to me. He recognized, he acknowledged, and he understood that every privilege that he enjoyed came to him from me. Wa hamidani, and he said, Alhamdulillah. Every breath that you take, every beat of your heart, every blink of your eye, every new day that you experience, every child that you have, every moment of happiness, every sajda that you make is a manifestation of Allah's mercy upon you. So if you want to remember Allah, remember this great mercy that Allah has bestowed upon you. Can we even begin to understand how great and how vast is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah Himself declares in the Quran, wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. Allah says, my rahmah, my mercy encompasses everything. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that which of the favors elsewhere in the Quran, which of the favors of your Allah can you ever deny? Now if we want to enjoy the special mercy of Allah, if we want to drown in that mercy, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attached a condition to it. And that is to become the complete slaves of Allah. That your every move, your every action, your every deed is in harmony with the dictates of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Musa kunni kama urid, akun laka kama turid. We all want Allah to treat us in a good way, and we all have good expectations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, you become for me what I want you to be, and I shall become for you what you want me to be. And the starting point of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers, is dua. Brothers, dua in itself is a special form of mercy that we enjoy. Because Allah is the one who puts a yearning into your heart. Allah is the one who puts a desire in your heart to call out to Him, to turn to Him, and to make dua. Abu Abdullah rahimahullah, he says one night he awoke from his sleep in search of his slave girl who was an extremely pious lady. فَقُمْتُ مِنْ نَوْمِ أَبْحَثُ عَنْهَا. He says, I awoke from my sleep in search for her. فَإِذَا هِيَ تُنَادِي رَبَّهَا سَاجِدًا. I found her in one secluded area of the house. She was in sajda, prostrating before Allah, communicating to Allah Azza wa Jal. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, اِعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ لَنْ تَجِدَ أَحَنَّ عَلَيْكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. He says, understand one thing. Understand this. Remember this. You will not find anyone who loves you more and who will be more kind and gentle and loving towards you than Allah. Believe this. لَنْ تَجِدَ أَحَنَّ عَلَيْكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. لَوْ يَعْلَمُ السَّاجِدْ مَا يَخْشَاهُ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ بِسُجُودِهِ لَمَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ. He goes on to say that that person who is in sajda before Allah, the person who is prostrating before Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal, if he only knew the level of Allah's mercy that descends upon him and the extent of Allah's mercy that enshrouds him at that point when he's in sajda before Allah, he would never want to lift his head up from sujood. So Abu Abdullah says, I came across her. She was in sajda, she was communicating with Allah. I overheard her saying, بِحُبِّكَ إِيَّايَ لَا تُعَذِّبْنِي. O Allah, through the love that you have for me, because of the love that you have for me, do not ever subject me to any form of punishment. He was surprised at the statement that she made. He allowed her to complete the dua. When she finished the dua, he came up to her and said, كَيْفَ عَرَفْتَ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّكَ. You have asked Allah through the love that Allah has for you. You have openly and boldly claimed that Allah loves you. How do you know and how certain are you and sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly loves you? She said, أَمَا أَقَامَنِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. Did Allah not allow me to stand in prayer before Him? The fact that Allah has allowed me to communicate with Him at this hour of the night is a clear enough sign of Allah's love for me and His mercy upon me. So Allah is the one who puts a yearning in your heart to call out to Him. Allah is the one who puts that desire in your heart to call out to Him. And that is why when you experience that moment, no matter where you may be, in what condition you find yourself, if that desire comes within your heart to turn to Allah and to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then grab that opportunity. Because Allah wants you, it's Allah that wants you to turn to Him in that moment. He may not give you what it is that you ask for, or He may give you what it is that He asks for, but the important thing is that moment that you spend communicating with Allah Azza wa Jal, that alone is a special form of mercy that Allah has bestowed upon you. So this is one of the most special mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you can ever experience in life. The ability that Allah gives you to make dua to Him, to turn to Him, to supplicate to Him, to communicate with Him. Then there are those who are arrogant and proud, those who turn away from Allah Azza wa Jal. They feel that they are self-sufficient and they choose to rely solely on their capabilities, their abilities, their intellect, acumen and resources. They feel they do not need anyone but themselves. They do not turn to Allah, they do not make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are deprived of the special mercy of turning to Allah and making dua to Allah azza wa jal. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Allah issues a severe warning for those who due to their pride and due to their arrogance and due to this attitude of self-sufficiency, they fail to turn to Allah and make dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Brothers, through dua we find hope at times of desperation. We find sustenance at times of need. Through dua we find security at times of fear. We find consolation at times of sadness. We find comfort at times of distress. How many are the moments of difficulty that you have been able to get through because of dua? So how much of a mercy it is that Allah has given you and I the ability to make dua. Then my brother, when you make dua, and when you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that dua that you make must be driven by an inner sense of desperation. It must be supplemented with an inner feeling of utter desperation before Allah Azza wa Jalla. Your verbal utterance, it carries no weight if it is not supplemented with an inner feeling of desperation before Allah Azza wa Jalla. لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَنْجُو فِيهِ إِلَّا مَنْ دَعَى بِدُعَاءٍ كَدُعَاءِ الْغَرِيقِ. The statement of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, a time will come upon this ummah when the only dua that will be answered is the dua that is made with the same level of desperation that a drowning person expresses when he fears drowning. Think of that person in the middle of the ocean. He is all by himself. He fears drowning. Can you imagine the level of desperation with which he shouts out and he cries out? There's no one out there to listen to his call or to respond to his shouting. But that is the level of desperation Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala says you need to express in your dua when you are communicating with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullah alayhi says about the pious, كانوا يجتهدون في الدعاء ولا تسمع إلا همسة. He says the pious, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would make dua with much intensity, with much fervor, with much strength, but all you could hear was nothing more than a whisper. This is the dua that is most beloved to Allah, the dua that is made silently, but with strength and with fervor. And it is supplemented with this inner feeling of desperation before Allah Azza wa Jalla. Al-Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, أجمعت الأمة على أن الدعاء اللساني الخالي عن الطلب النفساني قليل الأثر عديم النفع. He says that the scholars have unanimously understood that the verbal dua that is made, the verbal supplication that is not supplemented with an inner feeling of desperation, that is not supplemented with an inner dua, he says such a dua is void of benefit. And it is ineffective to make such a dua before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاءَ مَنْ قَلْبُهُ غَافِلٌ لَاهِلٌ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, understand well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not listen to the dua of an inattentive and negligent heart. Allah pays no attention to such a dua. Then, when you are making dua, you should be persistent. Always be persistent in your dua. Many, unfortunately, are those who the last time they made dua to Allah was during the month of Ramadan. Then with great desire, with great fervor, we turn to Allah and we make dua. To confine our dua to the month of Ramadan is in reality a negative perception that we have about Allah. Or to confine the dua to the day of Jumu'ah, or to confine the dua to the night preceding the day of Jumu'ah, it is to have a negative perception about Allah, that Allah can only answer du'as at certain times during the year or certain times during the week. And until and unless we do not change that perception, we cannot expect our du'as to be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith, الدُّعَاء مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. The du'a that you make is the mukh of your ibadah. What is mukh? Mukh is translated as the brain in the body. That is the literal translation of mukh. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the du'a that you make is the mukh. It is the brain of your ibadah. Your ibadah is lifeless. Your salah is lifeless. Your fast is lifeless. Your charity is lifeless. Your hajj is lifeless. All of these you need to enliven them. And this is what we lack today in our ibadat. There is no feeling in our ibadah, in our salah, in our recitation of the Quran. When we take the name of Allah, when we are in sajda before Allah Azza wa Jal, there is no feeling. We feel so disconnected. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to create that feeling within your ibadah, to enliven your ibadah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that is achieved through dua. Every day must be the practice of a mu'min. A mu'min's believer, his day does not end. The day of a believer does not end until and unless he spends some time making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the fuel. Dedicate some time. During the course of the day, preferably in the beginning of the day, where you dedicate some time with adab, with respect, with etiquette, you prepare yourself mentally, you make wudu, offer 2 rak'ats of salah if possible, sit in a secluded area, while facing towards the qibla, with adab and respect, with etiquette, raise your hands, make dua to Allah. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, spend in dua every day. Then you will feel a different salah when you stand before Allah. When you take the name of Allah, it will be taken with emotion. Why? Because you spend some time directly communicating with Allah. Let us bring this dua, this aspect of dua into our lives. And let us not confine it to certain months during the course of the year, or to certain nights during the week. Persistency in dua. And whether we have a need or not, we should be making dua. Dua does not mean to ask and only to beg. Dua is to communicate. At times you might raise your hands, and all you do is, when you are communicating, is thanking Allah. Your entire dua is all about thanking Allah. That is also dua, and that is what we should do. Thanking Allah, we spoke about all the ni'mat that Allah has blessed you and I with. So sometimes your entire dua is all about shukr, acknowledging the bounties that we enjoy, and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every ni'mah. Never give up hope. Never stop making dua. Never give up making dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُسْتَجَابُ لِأَحَدِكُمْ مَا لَمْ يَعْجَلْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, your dua will be answered. Your dua will be answered. Your dua will be answered so long as you are not in a hurry and you say, دَعَوْتُ رَبِّي فَلَمْ يُسْتَجَبْ لِي. I made dua to Allah. I made dua once, twice, thrice, five times, 10 times. Allah did not answer my dua, so there's no point in making dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if that is the attitude, your dua will never be answered. A scholar once said, كُنْ مِثْلَ الصَّبِيِّ إِذَا اشْتَهَى عَلَىٰ أَبَوَيْهِ شَهْوَةً فَلَمْ يُمَكِّنَاهُ قَعَدَ يَبْكِي. He says, learn how to make dua from a child, a little child, 3 years of age, 2 years of age. The child, he asks for something from his parents, they do not fulfill the request of the child. What does the child do? Does the child give up? The child, قَعَدَ يَبْكِي, he sits and he cries and he insists and he persists. He never gives up until his request is fulfilled. He will insist and persist. He says, فَكُنْ أَنْتَ مِتْرَى. He says, learn from this child. Learn from this child. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ رَبَّكَ. If you make dua to Allah, Allah did not answer your dua, فَقْعُدْ فَبْكِي. He says, sit and cry and beg and persist. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, who says, جِدُّوا فِي الدُّعَى, consistently throughout your life, Ramadan or not Ramadan, wherever you are, keep on making dua. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يُكْثِرُ قَرْعَ الْبَابِ يُوشِكْ وَيُفْتَحْ لَهُ. The one who keeps knocking at the door, eventually the door will be opened for him. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, تَعَلَّمْتُ الصَّبْرَ مِنْ صَبِيٍّ. He relates an incident in his life, and he says, this is where I learned persistency in dua. Exercising consistency and persistency in dua. He says, ذَهَبْتُ مَرَّةً إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ. I was on my way to the masjid. فَوَجَدْتُ إِمْرَأَةً دَاخِلَ دَارِهَا تَضْرِبُ إِبْنَهَا. He says, as I was passing by a certain home, I overheard a mother beating her child in the house. For whatever reason, she was upset with the child and she began hitting him and beating him. وَهُوَ يَصْرُخُ فَفَتَحَ الْبَابَ وَهَرَبَ. He was screaming and shouting from the inside. I could hear him crying. And eventually, in order to escape the beating of his mother, he says that he opened the door, the little child opened the door, and he raced out of the house and he ran onto the street. He says, I continued on my way until I went to the masjid. I performed my salah, and when I returned, he says, I found that little child had come back to the door of the house, but the door was locked. The mother shut the door, she locked the door, she was so upset and angry with the child. He says, فَلَقِيتُ الْوَلَدَ بَعْدَ مَا بَقِيَ قَلِيلًا نَامَ عَلَىٰ عَتَبَةِ الْبَابِ. The child cried, he cried, the mother refused to open the door, and eventually the child fell off to sleep on the doorstep. He says, after a while, the mother peeped out from the window and she saw the child. فَرَقَّ قَلْبُ الْأُمْ. Eventually, she was overcome with emotions, and her heart was softened. She forgot all that happened, and she opened the door and she allowed the child to come into the home. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, when I saw this, I said, Subhanallah, I teared and I cried. I said, Subhanallah, لو صبر العبد على باب الله عز وجل فتح الله له. If only a servant of Allah can have the same attitude of this child, that he comes to Allah's door and he remains there and he cries and he insists and he persists and he refuses to leave Allah's door, لفتح الله باب. Allah will open up the door. So this is one way we spoke about Allah's mercy and the extensive nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. There are many ways through which we may experience the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather there are many ways through which Allah expresses His mercy. And one of these ways is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you and I the ability to make dua to Him and to turn to Him and to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have all our needs fulfilled through this great ibadah of dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen.